الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أسعد النبيين وأشرف المرسلين سيد الأولين والآخرين حبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, the chairman of this occasion, the chairman of this very important foundation, of this Islamic foundation, our country, the ulama, the a'imma, and our mothers, fathers, and brothers who are here, I greet us with the best of all greetings, the greetings of the Ahlul Jannah, the greetings we hope to exchange among ourselves on the day of judgment. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. أنا أستاذ, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Mr. Chairman, sir, I am constrained to request to stand on the existing protocol so that I can utilize the only 40 minutes given to me to present a lecture that ordinarily will take me 2.5 hours to be able to present. But I know the chairman, being a very, very senior colleague and the vice chancellor of the Ebola State University, would not mind extending my time by a few minutes if this is proper. I hope my request will be granted. Let me also thank the organizers of this very important Ramadan lecture, and I am happy and I feel honored to be part of the 24th series of this Ramadan annual lecture. The topic given to me to discuss is towards achieving the ultimate goal of belief in paradise. I will not waste time and I will go straight to the business. By way of introduction, I want to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed that mankind will experience life in three different places. The first place is this world, otherwise called a dunya. The second is the grave, that is the life of barzakh, life in one's grave after death before proceeding to the day of Qiyamah. And the third place is the hereafter, Yawmul Akhirah. The life of this world to every human being is a transient shape that will come to an end with the occurrence of death. Death is the stage at which the soul becomes separated from the body. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 64, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That the life of this world is nothing but play and a kind of a deviation to humankind. But the life of the hereafter is the permanent life, if only you know. Death is an indisputable fact that every soul must take. Allah says in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut," in Surah Ali Imran, verse 185. And that no man has been designed to live permanently in this world. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدَ أَفَإِنْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ, in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 32. That we are not designed for any mankind to live in this world permanently. So if you die, are they going to live in this world forever? Certainly the answer is no. None can escape death. Allah told us this in the Quran, where He says, قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم. Say, the death that you are trying to escape from, to run away from, shall surely come to you. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse 8. And that all shall perish in this world except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That everything that is in this world shall perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Surah Al-Rahman, verse 27 to 20, verse 26 to 27. My brothers and sisters in Islam, death is the greatest affliction. Allah says about it, فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Death is an affliction. It destroys the pleasures of this world. That is why the Prophet ﷺ advised us to constantly remember death, because it takes away, it destroys, it deletes the pleasure of this world. أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِي هَادِمِ اللَّذَّانِ. It upsets man, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna lil mawti faza'an, that most death upsets mankind. It has a lot of agony. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shortly before he died, was lying on his sick bed. He will wake up and say, la ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti lasakarat. There is no deity worthy of being worshipped except Allah. Certainly, death is associated with a lot of agony. However, this agony for the believer, the believing man, men and women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will comfort them by the glad guidance that will be given to them by the angel during the time or at the time they will die. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نعم أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا بالغفور الرحيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى will send angels that will comfort those who are about to die if they are believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that will be comforted by the angels at the point of death. Every soul shall die at its appointed time and place. وَمَا كَانَ نَفْسٌ أَنْ تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. Nobody will die except at his appointed time. And this time is not known to anybody. When are you going to die? Where are you going to die? You don't know. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. No soul knows where it will do tomorrow, and no soul knows when it's going to, where it's going to die. So nobody knows when he is going to die. Nobody knows where he or she is going to die. And it is because of this that it is always important that we make adequate preparation for this indispensable journey to the hereafter. And once it is time, there will be no time, no delay. There will be no postponement. It's not about flight schedule, where maybe the airline will tell you we have postponed your flight by 30 minutes. Once it is time for one to die, so it will be. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, verse 11, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah does not give respite to any soul. Once it is appointed time, it's due. As the soul departs, one moves from this world, the world of dunya, to the life of barzakh. That is the life in grave. And will continue to live there until the day of resurrection. Though the life in one's grave is a transit sort of life between the world and the hereafter, life in grave could be very frightening and very, very uncomfortable. Right from the grave, people will be shown where they belong on the day of Qiyamah. According to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إذا مات أريد عليه مقعده بالغداة والعشي. إن كان من أهل الجنة فمن أهل الجنة, وإن كان من أهل النار فمن أهل النار. That if one of you dies, he will be shown his abode, his permanent place on the day of Qiyamah, right in his grave. If he is among the inhabitants of paradise, so it will be shown to him. If he is among the inhabitants of the hell, na'udhu billahi min dhalika, so it will be shown to him. And it will be said to him, that is where you belong, but remain here until the day of resurrection. May Allah make us among those that will be shown their abode among the inhabitants of paradise, al-jannah, al-firdaus. On the day of resurrection, people shall be raised for accountability and shall be rewarded with either paradise or hell, because there are only two houses on the day of Qiyamah, only two houses in the hereafter. And that is why a scholar has to say, al-mawt babun wa kullu an-nas dakhiluhu ya layta shi'ri ba'da al-mawt ba'da al-bab madaru ad-daru jannatu adnin in amilta biha yurdil ilaha wa in khalafa bil fannam. That death is inevitable, and it is a door, a path to either paradise, al-jannah, or hellfire. He said, I wish there was not any door that I will have to pass through after death. He said, there are only two houses, two abodes. Paradise for those that work for it. But if you don't work for it, then the alternative will be hellfire. May Allah save us from hellfire. Another scholar has this to say, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كان قبل الموت يبنيها فمن بناها بخير خاب مسكنه ومن بناها بشر خاب بانيها. That there are only two houses that one will settle in, either of the two. So it is left for you to build your own home with concrete, with blocks and cement, based on specifications given by engineers and the rest. And that is what we are going to talk today about. Or you decide not to build a formidable house, a good house, a comfortable house, that you will stay on the day of Qiyamah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us among those who will build a formidable house that will be a source of bliss for them forever and ever. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 185, فَمَنْ زُوْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is saved from the hellfire and admitted into al-jannah has indeed succeeded. Our objective in this world is to succeed both here and in the hereafter, so that after our death, on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His grace and mercy, will save us from the hellfire and admit us into al-jannah. May Allah admit us into al-jannah to the Firdaus. Brothers and sisters, what is this paradise that we are talking about? Allah has created paradise, in Arabic, jannah or al-jannah, and prepared it as a permanent abode for His beloved ones who believe in Him, obey Him, and die as believers. It is the greatest reward and blissful home that awaits the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will never come to an end or cease to exist. Allah has prepared for the inhabitants of paradise what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has ever imagined. In a hadith, Al-Qudsi, as reported by Muslims in the Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'adatu li ibadiyya salihina ma la aynun ra'at wa la udhunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi basharin waqra'u in shi'tum fa la ta'lamu nafsun ma ukhfiya lahum min qurrati a'yunin jaza'an bima kanu ya'maluna. Allah said, I have prepared for my righteous servant in Al-Jannah what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and has never occurred or crossed the mind of any creature of Allah. It means the life of paradise is a life that cannot even be imagined. We can only try to describe it based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it in the Quran and what our noble beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has described for us. But as to imagine how it is in reality, it is not imaginable, because Allah says He has prepared for us, insha'Allah, as inhabitants of Al-Jannah al-Firdaws on that day, what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart has ever conceived. Allahu Akbar. The Quran has mentioned paradise in about 139 places. 139 places. And it has been described, it has been named variously and described with different descriptions. By way of example, Allah called it Al-Jannah, which is the most popular name. As in Surah An-Nahl, verse 32, Allah says, "Udkhulu al-jannata bima kuntum ta'maluna." By Jannah, it means the garden. Allah also called it the most beautiful place. Paradise is the most beautiful place one has never seen, and will never see anything as beautiful as Jannah in this world. Allah called it al-husna. Allah says, "Lilladina ahsanul husna wal fiyata." In Surah Yunus, verse 26, that Al-Jannah is the most beautiful place. Allah also described it as a home of peace, a home of peace, Darul Salam. Allah said in the Quran, "Lahum Darul Salami in the Rabbihim." Allah also called it Jannatu Adni, Garden of Bliss. The paradise is a garden of bliss. Allah says in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. Meaning, paradise is a garden of bliss. May Allah bless us with this garden of bliss. Allah has also called it Jannatu Naim, garden of delight. If you are talking of delight, whatever can delight the heart, Al-Jannah surpass it. There is nothing as delightful as the Jannah. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Yunus, verse 9, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. In the garden of bliss. May Allah bless us with this garden. Allah also called it Al-Firdaws, the highest garden. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 107, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. May Allah take us to that Al-Jannah al-Firdaws, which the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever we ask Allah for Al-Jannah, we shall ask Him Al-Jannah al-Firdaws. Allah calls paradise Jannah al-Khuldi, eternal garden. قُلْ أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ جَنَّةُ الْخُلْدِ. In Surah Al-Furqan, verse 15. Allah also called it as Al-Ghurfatu. Al-Ghurfatu, this special room, this unique room. That's how Allah described Al-Jannah. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. May Allah take us into that special unique room. Also Allah called it Dar al-Muqama, the home that one will enjoy and be comfortable. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Fatir, verse 35, الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. May Allah take us and settle us in that home that is comfortable and a home of joy and happiness. Allah also called it Jannatul Ma'wa, garden of abode, where you will live permanently. You will not sleep, you will not go, you will not be tired, there will be no man, one will not be miserable or feel miserable, one will not excrete, there will be no one will not pass urine, nothing except enjoyment, happiness, comfort, illa qilan, salaman, salaman. May Allah take us to that Darussalam. Allah says in the Quran about Jannatul Ma'wa, intaha Jannatul Ma'wa. He also call it Maqamin Amin. Paradise is Maqamin Amin, house of purity. May Allah cure us in that house of purity. Allah says, Inna al-muttaqina fi jannat fi maqamin amin. In Surah Al-Dukhan, verse 1. That those who fear Allah will be in the house of purity. May Allah put us there. Allah also call it Maqad Siddiqin. It is the assembly of truth. The paradise is an assembly of truth. May Allah assemble all of us that are here in that assembly of truth, i.e. the paradise. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qamar, verse 54 to 55, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَارٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدِّيقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah bless us with this Maq'adi Siddiqin. Paradise has 8 gates. The gates of paradise are 8, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There will be gates for those who pray, there will be gates for those who fast, there will be gates for those who give charity in sadaqah, there will be gates for those who do jihad, there will be gates for those who will not be called accountable for their deeds. Because that gate, Babul Ayman, will be entered by those who will not even be called accountable from the day of judgment for their deeds. Allah will just ask them to go into Al-Jannah free of charge without their actions being weighed or without them being called to account for their deeds. May Allah make us among those who will go through the Babul Ayman. Also, some people will be given privilege to choose the gate they want to enter Al-Jannah. Our mother, let me tell us one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a woman performs her salat regularly and fasts in the month of Ramadan and guards her chastity and obeys her husband, on the day of Qiyamah, she will be given the choice to enter Al-Jannah through any of the 8 gates she wishes. That is for our mothers. إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَعْرَهَا وَعَجِزَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاءَتْ بَعْلَهَا قِيلَ لَهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أُدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ حَيْثِ بَابٍ شِئْتْ. Only for our mothers. Oh my God. Allahu Akbar. Our mothers, I envy you. I envy you. So you will be given the choice to enter Al-Jannah through any of the 8 gates you wish. Allahu Akbar. May Allah give you the opportunity of observing your salat regularly and fasting the month of Ramadan and obeying your husband and guarding your chastity. Some people will be called to enter Al-Jannah from all the 8 gates. All the 8 gates, you will be given the opportunity. Very few people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I hope you Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, will be among those that will be given the opportunity to enter Al-Jannah through all the 8 gates. So where we hail you, our mothers, they will be given the choice. Our dear Khalifa, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, will be among those that will enter Al-Jannah through the 8 gates. All the gates, he will enjoy them. He will test them, he will experience them. Life in paradise is one that is happy, without hurt, sorrow, fear or shame, where every wish is fulfilled. The inhabitants of paradise will not urinate, will not defecate, sit, blow their noses or express. There will be no sickness in paradise. There will be no pain or sadness. There will be no hatred of resentment among people. Their hearts will be at one. No hatred, no resentment. Everybody will be a brother to the other. People of Jannah will never feel miserable. They shall abide forever and will never die. They shall not hear any useless talk except salaman, salaman. Illa qilan, salaman, salaman. The inhabitants of paradise will eat variety of delicious food, including meat. They will enjoy its abundant trees and delicious fruits of all seasons. They will drink from the rivers of water that is pure undiluted, or pure and mixed, river of milk, river of clear honey, and river of crystal white, non-intoxicating, aromatic wine on the day of Qiyamah. They will also rejoice in the company of their parents, their spouses, and children who were admitted into Al-Jannah. May Allah admit us with our parents, our spouses, and all those that are here and belong to us in Al-Jannah. Their dwellings will be pleasant, with lofty gardens, shady valleys, fountains scented with camphor or ginger. There are some people that have been confirmed that they will enter Al-Jannah automatically. For example, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr wa Umar, sayyida kahuli ahli al-jannah min al-awwalina wal-akhirina. That Abu Bakr and Umar will be the leaders of the men of paradise from among the earlier and the later generations. Allahu Akbar. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, Sayyida Shabab al-Jannah. That Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn are the leaders of the youth of paradise. Women, four women will enter Al-Jannah automatically on the day of judgment. And they are the best of all the women of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyidat nisa'i ahli al-jannah arba'un. Maryam bint Imran wa Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa Khadija bint Khuwaylid wa Asiya bint Muzahim imra'at Fir'aun. These four will be the leaders of the women of paradise. All of you here, may Allah take you and us to al-jannah, where Maryam, Fatima, the daughter of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had assisted him with everything she had. She used to be a multi-billionaire, but on the day she died without a penny. She has spent it all for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his cause. No wonder Malaika Jibril came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Allah asked me to extend his greeting and my own greeting to Khadija, and that Allah has promised her a house in paradise that there will be no disturbance, no noise in it. This is Khadija for you. Why? Because she has never raised her voice on top of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She has never done anything to scare, or anything to prostrate, or anything to make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam angry. She has never done that. That is Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Also, 10 Sahaba will also go into Al-Jannah automatically. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them by their names. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Talha fil Jannah, wa Zubayr fil Jannah, وعبد الرحمن في الجنة وسعد في الجنة وسعيد في الجنة وأبو عبيدة ابن الجراح في الجنة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Abu Bakr will be in paradise, Umar will be in paradise, Uthman will be in paradise, Ali will be in paradise, Talha will be in paradise, Zubayr will be in paradise, عبد الرحمن ابن عوف will be in paradise, Saad ابن أبي وقاص will be in paradise, Saeed will also be in paradise, and Abu Ubaidah will be in paradise. May Allah join us with them on that day. There are many others that the Prophet mentioned their names specifically as those who will enter Al-Jannah automatically on the day of Qiyamah. Some of them include Ja'far ibn Talha, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah ibn Salam, Zayd ibn Haritha, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayn, Haritha ibn Umar, Bilal ibn Abi Rabah, Abu Dahda, Waratha ibn Nawfal. Also, the Prophet said about his beloved wife Aisha, Ummu al-Mu'minina, Ummu Abdullah, radiallahu anha. He said, فَأَنْتِ زَوْجَتِي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my wife in this world and in the hereafter. Meaning, she will also enter Al-Jannah automatically. In addition to this, 70,000 from the ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will enter al-Jannah without being forced to account for their deeds. And if of these 70,000 people will carry with him 70,000. So if you multiply 70,000 by 70,000, you will have about 4.9 billion will enter al-Jannah among the ummah. Is it billion or million? Billion. Among the ummah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, straight away, automatically, nothing will stop them from entering al-Jannah except death, and except that the day of Qiyamah has not come. In addition to this, as part of the mercy of Allah to our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will add three handfuls to add to this 4.9 billion to enter al-Jannah straight away. Allahu Akbar. This is the ummah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Let me say, of course, on a lighter note, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the poor among the muhajirun will enter al-Jannah 500 years before the day. But I don't think Al-Hajj will be left. I don't think anybody that has spent his money in the cause of Allah will be left. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, they will enter al-Jannah 500 years ahead of the rich. Interestingly, there will be more women than men in al-Jannah. More women than men in al-Jannah. Of course, there is another hadith that talks about the hellfire, that there will also be more women than men in the hellfire. Why? Because you are more in number. You are more in number. So you will be more, women will be more in al-Jannah, and they will also be more in the hellfire. Paradise has already been created. It is there. It will not come to an end. It will not cease. There is nothing like paradise. It is something of immense value that one cannot earn it by virtue of his deeds. One requires the grace and mercy of Allah to be admitted into al-Jannah. However, iman and good deeds serve as reasons for entering paradise on the day of Qiyamah and not its price. Paradise has 100 levels. Its highest level is al-Wasila. That is exclusively for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Wasila. وَبْأَبُوا مَقَامًا مَعْمُودًا لَذِي وَعَدَّى. That Wasila, Ati Muhammadan al-Wasilat wal-Fadila, is the highest level of al-Jannah. Next is al-Firdawsi, which is going to be the place of the Prophet, the righteous servants of Allah, and those who attain Shahada. The first to enter al-Jannah will be our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The children of believers who died before reaching the age of puberty will also be in paradise by the grace and mercy of Allah. However, the children of unbelievers who died before attaining the age of maturity, Allah knows what they would have done if they lived up to the time of adulthood. According to the hadith, on the day of judgment they will be tested. If they pass the test, they will be admitted into al-Jannah. Now, the $1 million question is, how do we achieve this ultimate goal? Because that is the crux of the matter. We have mentioned al-Jannah, what it has, its beautiful nature, its provisions and the rest. How do we achieve it? I think that is the most important question that we will try to answer. Iman is the main prerequisite, and alhamdulillah, we are all believers here, alhamdulillah. So next is sincerity, that we do everything for the sake of Allah. We should not seek popularity. We should not seek position with what we do for Allah's sake. Because that is what Allah wants from us. That we should worship Him without showing off. There shouldn't be riyah. Whatever we do, we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. Inna nakabu min rabbina yawman abusan kam tarira. There are about 70 deeds that either the Quran or the Hadith or both of them have confirmed that anybody that does, that do them or do any one of them and die doing it will enter Al-Jannah. 70 confirm this, that once you do them, inshallah, you will achieve that ultimate goal of bliss, of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to achieve that ultimate goal. I have very few minutes, so I will just read out this until the MC stops me. Wherever he stops me, I will stop, because the chairman indicated that he's not going to protect me when the MC comes to ask me to stop. So if I'm not going to be protected by the chair, after the expiration of my own time, I will just read out this and pray that Allah will give us the ability to do all this, all of them, so that our position on that day will be at the top. One, believe in Allah and do righteous deeds. Two, obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three, observing the five pillars of Islam. Four, doing jihad for the sake of Allah. Five, commanding good and forbidding evil. Six, repentance and being grateful to Allah. Seven, steadfastness upon the religion. Eight, seeking beneficial knowledge for Allah's sake. Nine, building mosque for Allah. 10, good conduct. 11, leaving unnecessary arguments, even where one is right. 12, abandoning falsehood, even in the name of God. 13, dying of a righteous deed. 14, always having ablution, wudu, and observing two rak'ahs after the mu'azzin has made call to prayer. 15, memorizing the Quran and constantly reciting it. 16, observing the following six qualities: truthfulness in speech, fulfilling promise, keeping trust, safeguarding private parts, lowering gaze, and holding hand from evil. 17, dying upon tawheed. 18, memorizing, understanding, and implementing the meaning of 99 most beautiful names of Allah. 19, withholding anger and forgiving wrongdoing. You are angry, but you hold your anger. Somebody wronged you and you forgive him. والكاذبين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. 20, weeping, shedding tears for the sake of Allah. You remember Allah and you shed tears, Allah will admit you into Al-Jannah. 21, removing harmful things from wrath. When you are fasting, you see maybe broken bottles, or you see bones, or anything that can cause harm to passers-by. You remove it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit you into Al-Jannah. Visiting the sick and visiting your relations for the sake of Allah. Hajj mabrur, performing acceptable hajj that satisfies all the requirements of Sharia. 24, obedience and goodness to Allah, to parents. Obedience and being good to them. If you are obedient to your parents and you are good and kind to them and you die, then Allah will admit you into Al-Jannah. 25, gentleness in buying and selling, as well as in debt recovery. 26, upholding four characters in one day. If you are lucky to do four things in one day, four things, you will be admitted into Al-Jannah. Fasting, maybe you do voluntary fast, which you can even do during Ramadan. We are all fasting here, except those that have been exempted by Sharia. Participating in Janazah. Once you hear that someone dies, go and participate in Janazah. Feeding the poor. Even if you are not rich, the little you have, spend part of it for the sake of Allah to assist those who are in need. And then visiting the sick. When you hear that someone is sick, a brother, a Muslim brother, or a Muslim sister, or even a non-Muslim is sick, go and visit him, greet him. That will be a call for you to enter Al-Jannah. 27, reciting Ayat al-Kursi. If you recite Ayat al-Kursi after an obligatory prayer, it is only death that will stop you from entering Al-Jannah. Once you die, you are inside Al-Jannah, inshallah. 28, reciting Surah Al-Mulk every day. Tabarak al-Ladhi yajdi al-Mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Taji basis, you recite it every day. On the day of Qiyamah, you enter Al-Jannah. 29, Sujood al-Tilawah. You recite the Quran, you come to a place where you are required to do Sujood al-Tilawah. You do Sujood al-Tilawah, Allah on the day of judgment will admit you into Al-Jannah. Taji. Do I stop at 30? Sponsor and open. If you sponsor and open, the Prophet ﷺ said you will be with him like this on the day of Qiyamah in the Jannah. You sponsor and open. The Prophet do like this and said you will be together with the person that sponsor the open. And we go on the day of Qiyamah in paradise with him. That one. Shall I continue? Observing the five daily prayers. 32. Constantly observing Subhi and other prayers in time. 33. Repeating after the Muazzin. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you repeat after him to the end. 34. Keeping to 4 rak'at before and after Zuhur prayer. 35. Constantly observing obligatory prayer in Jama'ah. 36. Keeping to 12 rak'at every day, Nafila. 12 rak'at every day, you die, you are in Al-Jannah, masha'Allah. 37. Doing zikr after every obligatory prayer. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You do it, Allah will admit you to Al-Jannah. I will mention the last, but not the least. At least in my presentation before the chairman, I'm going to stop. I have about 30 that I will leave. But I've mentioned about 35 now. It's from 70, so I will leave maybe around I will leave around 32. The last I will mention is reciting Sayyidul Istighfar. Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa anta. Khalaqatani. Wa ana abduka. Wa ana ala ahadika wa wa'adika masafatu. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'atu. Abu'u laka bini'imatika alayya. Wa abu'u bidhanbi. Fadfirli fa'innahu la yakfiru dhunuba illa anta. If you recite this and you die, Al-Jannah, bang bang, you just go, inshallah. Finally, I will leave that too. But I will conclude with this point to remind us of the need for us to walk and to pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to assist us in attaining this belief of paradise. May Allah put us in His Al-Jannah. It is said, فَاسْلُكْ سَبِيلَ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَظَنَّ خَيْرًا بِالْكَرِيمِ وَاذْكُرْ خُوفَكَ خَائِفًا وَالنَّاسُ فِي أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ إِمَّا إِلَى دَارِ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَوْ إِلَى الْإِذِّ الْمُقِيمِ فَاغْنَمْ حَيَاتَكَ وَاجْتَهِدْ وَتُبْ إِلَى الْفَرْدِ الرَّحِيمِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah increase our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in position and wasila. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among His righteous servants, those who will obey Him, those who will obey His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who will love Him, those who will love His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who will hold in high estimation His Prophet and members of His household, those who will respect the Sahaba and hold them in high estimation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that will do a lot of zikr after an obligatory prayer and do a lot of zikr anywhere we find ourselves. May Allah make us among those who will do a lot of salat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam anywhere at any point in time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in health, in good health. May Allah give us good health. May He increase us in beneficial knowledge. May He increase us in taqwa and iman. May He increase us in righteousness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the organizers of this annual event bountifully with Al-Jannah al-Firdaus. I wish I have the time to finish my presentation, but alhamdulillah, the little I have presented, may Allah put barakah in it. Where I am right, it is from Allah. May Allah give us the full benefit and make us among those that will practice. Where I am wrong, it is certainly from myself and from the shaitan. Allah and the Messenger have no business in my mistakes. But may Allah forgive me. May Allah make us understand the mistakes so we can correct them before we leave here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our prayers. May Allah accept our fasting. May Allah accept all our acts of ibadah. Ya Allah Ta'ala admit us in al-Jannah yawma la yanfa'u malun wa la banun illa man ata Allah bi qalbin salim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum wa li jami'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Dr. Ahmad Dulu. Saya ingin apa?